Joining us this morning, we have Michelle Reinen, who is the administrator for the state's Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Always something new to talk about in the world of scams and frauds, I guess. But we got a couple of different subjects that we're going to ask Michelle to fill us in on. And scammers, or those who commit fraud, use all kinds of tools, including video, I guess, now, as bank imposters. How are they using this tool?
Yeah, it's quite amazing what they have turned to and how they get us to respond to their requests and really manipulate our thought processes. So we know that scammers claim that they are different entities, and in this situation, they're claiming to be someone who will assist you. They call consumers and say that there's suspicious activity on their bank account or their credit card, something that's really going to get us to react and respond. These are often cold calls, but they can be text messages. And what happens is that they provide a phone number for the consumer to call if it's in a text message. So in both cases, they connect with the scammer who says that they need to verify the consumer's identity. But the new twist here is now the scammers switch the conversation from a traditional phone call to a video call. So think FaceTime for the iPhones or Google Meets for an Android phone. And once that video call's begun, that scammer, who is pretending to be that representative from that financial institution, asks the consumer to point the camera at their computer screen while they log into the online account, or they ask for a screen share on a cell phone or a smartphone. And both of these let the scammer see the consumer's private login details and possibly other real-time information like a response to a security question or bank account numbers. And, you know, because of everything that's happening and how quickly this moves, a consumer may not even realize that they're exposing that information because they think they're getting help from a legitimate representative from that financial institution.
Wow. Okay. So video is just another tool, but do they also think that this is going to give them an air of authenticity going video or...
Well, just the fact that they are calling, saying suspicious activity, representing themselves from the bank, that they're there to help you. And yeah, there's this new method to help you through it and walk you through. All of that's going to lend itself to that legitimacy, that authenticity, that trust factor that consumers are seeking. So we really hope that... consumers can avoid it, even though they trust that a video call is supposed to be secure in its method of providing that private information. So try to avoid anyone who calls you and represents that their financial institution asking for that video call or for your information. And remember that if a credit card company calls to indicate that there's fraud on your account, they're asking you to verify a purchase. And they're not asking for your private information here. There's a big difference with that credit card company trying to stop fraud and you handing over that information that that company should already have if they're talking to you as their customer.
Yeah, it seems like most people would see through that, but I guess, you know, people do fall for it, so...
Well, they do because of the quick nature, that urgency, that pressure to act right now. You miss those red flags. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talk about it, to try and put those red flags back out in front of mind.
So the background behind them is somebody's basement or a storage unit might be questionable, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although they can fake that, too. So, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Moving on. Unclaimed life insurance scams. Always was looking for an error that left me some money, right? But
yeah, wouldn't that be great? That or the big lottery, either one. But We know that consumers are receiving letters in the mail about unclaimed life insurance money, and this is happening nationwide as well as in Wisconsin because we received reports of it back at the end of June. These letters appear to have been sent from law firms, and the lawyer says one of their clients has died, and the letter recipient is the heir to a life insurance policy worth millions. The example in Wisconsin was $4.9 million that consumer would have received. The letter explains that they want to split the proceeds between the consumer, some charity organizations, and the law firm. But the letter that you're receiving is from a scammer. It's not a real law firm, and the life insurance policy doesn't really exist. But it does sound very convincing because it sounds like the firm has been trying to contact family members and finding no close relatives. And so you are there to inherit this fortune. Consumers might be tempted to reply to this because what's the worst that can happen is what, they don't get their money. Mm-hmm. But really the worst thing is that the consumer could hand over, again, that personal information, that financial information, like a social security number and a bank account number, as part of going through the process to verify whether or not you are the heir to receive this information. So you want to be sure that you are keeping that information confidential. You should be able to ask questions like who the individual is, this family member, so you can verify that information and avoid, you know, those 100% risk-free transactions and in conformity with statutory law statements from convincing you that this could be legitimate.
Mm-hmm. And check and see if they actually died, right?
You can check and see if that person died. You can look for typos in the letter because we've seen typos in these letters. We've seen where the postmark is out of Georgia, but yet it's coming from a Canadian law firm. So mm-hmm. What's that about? And, you know, verify the law firm. Look at the bar association for the state or the country that they're from. In this case, again, a Canadian law firm. So check the Canadian Bar Association for the attorney and the law firm to see if they're legitimate. And when the consumer did that, found out that neither one of them was legitimate.
If it's Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, you know that it's questionable, so, right?
Yes, that name you'd need to be concerned with.
All right. Workers' compensation fraud. I'm kind of curious about this. How does this work?
Yeah, this is coming out of our partner agency, the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, and they've alerted consumers about the possible multi-state fraud scheme that is targeting injured workers. Fraudsters are trying to trick people into participating in fake workers' compensation hearings, and this is leading these injured workers to believe that they've been awarded money, but they're now going to be responsible for paying fees and other costs to finalize the case. We know that this scam is primarily targeting Spanish-speaking workers, but anyone can be a target of this. And it claims to come from fake agencies, names like the Workers' Compensation Board. The messages usually arrive as an email from domain names as @workcompcourt.org. But the consumers are told to attend an online hearing using a video call platform. And this fake hearing involves a judge, a bailiff, and an attorney. So it looks incredibly convincing. But again, always verify things. The Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Division schedules hearings only through written letter. And all phone numbers that you use to call Workforce Development will have a Wisconsin area code. So a couple of things that you can really look for if you are an injured worker and need to navigate this space.
All good advice. Thank you very much, Michelle, for visiting with us today.
Well, thank you. And if anyone has any questions, call the hotline at 800-422-7128.
We've been talking with Michelle Reinen, who is the state's administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection.